I'd like to thank you very much for taking some time to consider what Jesus teaches in the Gospel of Mark, giving us a gift from his Father today. I wrote this message for March 10 of 2024. It's titled, Come Like Little Children, and it's in the Gospel of Mark. We'll, in chapter 10, we'll begin at verse 13 and read to verse 16. So my outline looks like this. Come like children. Number one, please touch us, bless us. Two, Jesus gets angry. Three, citizens of the kingdom. So please touch us and bless us. Jesus gets angry and citizens of the kingdom. Introduction goes like this. Jesus was often criticized for spending too much time with the wrong people. Here it is children. Other times it's tax collectors and sinners, like in Matthew 9, 11, and in Luke 15, and then again in Luke 19. Some people, including the disciples, thought Jesus should be spending more time with important leaders and the devout. This was the way to improve his position and avoid criticism. Jesus did not need to improve his position. He is God. He wanted to speak to those who need him most. Oh, our text, I took it from the NIV Reader's Version, Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus. They wanted him to touch them. But the disciples told the people to stop. When Jesus saw this, he was angry. He said to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me. Don't keep them away. God's kingdom belongs to people like them." What I'm about to tell you is true. Anyone who will not receive God's kingdom like a little child will never enter it. Then he took the little children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. That's the end. So our outline, come like little children. Point one, please touch us. Please bless us. From my heart, that would make a great prayer for us today. Jesus, please touch us, bless us. I think that would be a great prayer. A on your outline, parents brought children to Jesus. Parents have a limited delegated authority over little children. So they brought these little children. And for a short period of time in growing up, parents have the limited delegated authority over their children. But at a certain age, they become aware, and then that authority diminishes. Message translation of Mark 10, 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus. They wanted him to touch them, but the disciples told the people to stop. That's the end. Dr. Luke, in his gospel, uses the medical term infant here. Infant. That gives us a picture of the age of these little ones. So they weren't very big. Infants. E on your outline. The parents were hoping Jesus might touch them. So your two blanks are hoping and might. Hope. I think that's where adult faith starts. So Jesus is talking here about childlike faith. But I think for us adults, that will begin with hope. We hope that there really is a God who created all these things. We hope there is a God who created us. We hope there is a God who loves us. We hope that his Savior, Jesus Christ, is good enough for a sinner like me. It always seems to start in my life with a little bit of hope that this might work. One's little children don't need this hope. That is because they just trust completely. Children don't need any hope. They just trust. The truth is that we can live just like that. We can live like these children where we don't need hope or understanding All we need is to trust in a loving God. So that was my point number one. Please touch us. Point number two, Jesus gets angry. What is it that gets Jesus angry? What do you think? What is it that gets Jesus angry? Are any of you like me that find it a little comforting that Jesus gets angry? From time to time he gets angry. That the human part of Jesus can experience this emotion of anger. In Mark's gospel, he gives us two examples of events where Jesus became angry. The first was in Mark 3:5. The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 3:5 reads like this. Jesus looked around at them in anger. He was very upset because of their hearts were stubborn. That's the end. So do you remember the context of this? What was going on in Mark 3:5? Well, it was on a Sabbath day, and they were in a synagogue, and the issue was, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? There was a guy there with a crippled up hand, and Jesus asked, is it okay to do good on Sabbath? And they wouldn't answer. They were expecting him to do a miracle, and then they were going to condemn him for it. Hard-hearted. A on your outline, Jesus was very upset because their hearts were stubborn. Hearts were stubborn are your three blanks. Their hearts were stubborn. It is always going to be a hard issue with Jesus when he gets angry. When and if he gets angry, it's always because of the heart of the individual or individuals he's working with. Doesn't matter whether it's in the synagogue here or when we're reading in Leviticus and it's Moses and the people in the desert. When the people's heart turn away from God, it's a big problem. In today's scripture, Mark uses the word indignant in the NIV Reader's Version. This was the only time Mark will use this word to describe Jesus' anger. Indignant. I don't use that term very often, but it does express to me an understanding. The word indignant indicates a strong anger to me. Now, the Message translation uses the word irate. Irate, I would use more regularly than that. You probably have an idea of what it would be like if somebody was indignant or irate. It's not a casual mumbling anger. It's pretty severe. The Message translation of Mark 10:13-14, the people brought children to Jesus hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus, irate, let them know it. Don't push these little ones away. Don't ever get between me and them. These children are the very center of life in the kingdom. That's the end. Be on your outline. Don't ever get between them and me. So get between are your two blanks. See, even if one's best efforts are to be helpful, it can defeat the experience of someone in Jesus. If we get between somebody and God, that can stimulate something that God didn't intend to be there. So we shouldn't get between people. As parents, we shouldn't try to control our children once they are no longer children. Once they become young adults, they need to be making decisions on their own that we can talk to them about and help them with, but it's really their choice. The best rule of thumb I have is this: only speak what is spoken to you. So I'm saying don't get between people. And here I'm saying, listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't come up with your own good idea or how you think it should go. Only repeat what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You just need to be a conduit or a connection. You don't need to be the one to figure it out, or the one to bail them out, or the one to help them, or the one to straighten them out. Just be a conduit. Whatever the Holy Spirit's saying to you, you say to them. And you don't hear anything from the Holy Spirit, don't get between them. So, my outline, come like little children, please touch us, bless us. Jesus gets very angry. And last point, number three, citizens of the kingdom. Jesus saying, such as these is related to how a person welcomes and enters the kingdom. Such as these. A on your outline. Little children accept what Jesus gives as a gift. And a gift is your two blanks. Children don't consider their rights or their claim to a gift. They just accept it. They don't consider they deserve it. It's a gift. Enter God's kingdom, a person must accept its gift as a generous gift. So for an adult to enter into the kingdom, they must accept this gift of God as a generous gift. And that's it, a gift. Adults are not as trusting as little children are. That's pretty well known. To feel sure, secure, all children need is a loving look and a gentle touch from someone who cares. So, with children, it's more of your facial expressions and tone of voice that builds trust in them. Complete intellectual understanding is not one of their requirements. They believe us if they trust us. That's the way kingdom people should be. We don't need intellectual understanding to have what we need in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, our Western world churches have rather slipped away from this childlike faith, and it's become an intellectual pursuit with years of study and lots of dollars to look at this intellectual understanding. When Jesus never encouraged his disciples to do anything like that. He actually chose people who weren't learned so they could be more dependent on the Spirit. And the truth is, in our Western world, the more people get intellectual, the less childlike faith they have. They base things on their understanding. Jesus said that people should believe him with the kind of faith that is childlike faith. Simple trust. We should not have to understand all the mysteries of God. We should not have to understand. It should be enough for us to know that Jesus loves us and provides forgiveness of sins. That should work. We don't need to understand all the mysteries of the Trinity, which no one can really understand anyway, or all the ins and outs of Paul's letters to the New Testament. All we need to be kingdom followers is to relate to Jesus and believe that he has the capability to make us righteous and make us forgiven for our sin. The NIV of Mark 10:14, Jesus said to them, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So there it is, that phrase, such as these. That's the end of that section of scripture. B on your outline, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And that's your three blanks, such as these. That's the real point of this interaction here with the children and the disciples, is this thought of such as these. Just like little children crawled up on his lap and looked at him and trusted him, and he looked down and loved on them and blessed them, that's the way he wants us kingdom people to live. Just like that. Jesus saying this, such as these, refers to the kind of people God's kingdom belongs to. So God's kingdom belongs to the ones who in childlike faith just trust him. The phrase taking him in his arms is one word in the Greek. We use five words to say what they say in one word. Jesus lovingly received the children and also blessed them. So people were bringing children to him, and he took them, held them, and blessed them. He took time for the little children. The Greek word blessed is an intensified expression of Jesus' sincerity. So, blessed in the Greek is an intensified expression. It's stronger than just bless you. So, Wilmer, how can an adult receive the kingdom of God like a child? Thank you for asking. Adults who are considering the Christian faith for the first time will have to experience that can take them past the ability to be innocent as children are. So what I was trying to say when I wrote that is, we adults, when we are considering the Christian faith, we have experiences in our past that can cause us to not trust people, not trust institutions. And we need to get past that ability in order to become innocent like these children are. Jesus does not ask us to put aside our past experiences. He doesn't ask you to block them out. He doesn't ask you to, he just asks you to come to him in faith and then let him help you deal with those past experiences. Jesus doesn't ask us to change our, Jesus does ask us to change our attitude of self-sufficiency. One must recognize their need for a sovereign God. So most adults have learned to be self-sufficient. Children, not so much. They rely on parents to change their diapers and to come up with food and to tell them when to go to bed. And they just trust mom and dad and do what they're told. But by the time you get to be an adult, you've become self-sufficient. And we need to recognize that that's a problem in our relationship to a sovereign God. He wants to be sovereign. He wants to be sufficient, not ourselves. Adults in their pride can develop a moral defensiveness, thinking they are good enough. One must humble themselves before a righteous, holy God. I know people that when I talk to them about getting into heaven, they say, well, I'm doing okay. I'm doing a lot better than so-and-so over there, so I think I'll be all right. I'll be able to get in. Well, that's not the way it works. Nobody can do it right. Jesus Christ is the only one who ever did it correctly. People will get defensive when you try to tell them that they need a Savior and they need to surrender their selfish lifestyle. Adults can easily become skeptical. One can develop a toughness to protect themselves. And many people do this. You don't trust, you're skeptical. I don't know about that. I don't know about him. I don't know her. I don't know about that institution. I've heard rumors about them. And one can develop this wall around us to protect us. And that's not good. This must soften before a loving God. This toughness that we've developed, this protective circle, this castle, tower we've built, when we're inside there, we're safe. We must soften that to a loving God. Children do not feel that they are powerful, perfectly righteous, or totally autonomous. I obviously copied that from somebody, but totally autonomous, that's not the normal words I would use. But some adults feel like they have all the power they need. They're as good as they can be, And they don't need anyone, including a god. But these are all adult fantasies. Those are just fantasies that people have, that they actually have any real power, that they actually are righteous, or they actually are self-sufficient. Those are just fantasies. Coming to Jesus means accept his goodness on our behalf. So that's what adults must do, exchange their sinful life for his righteous life. We accept his goodness, and then he deals with our past. One must confess their need for a loving God and commit their lives to his tender, loving guidance. That's necessary. Confess your need. I need you, Lord. And commit their lives to a tender, loving guidance. When I surrendered my life to Christ 40-some years ago, it was at a point in my life where I literally, in my prayer, told Jesus, I don't have anything to offer. My life looks like Berlin at the end of World War II. Nothing but destruction. Nothing worth anything. But what there is, I give to you in hopes that you can make something of it. I knew I needed a savior. I knew I needed some tender, loving guidance from somewhere. And when I reached out to Christ, I experienced it. Wonderful that I was part of the people that were saved in the Jesus Revolution of the 70s and 80s, the last great awakening in our country. Fortunately for me, the Spirit encompassed me and brought me into that revival, that great awakening. It sure would be sweet if in my lifetime I could see another one of those great awakenings, those great revivals like the Jesus movement, where hundreds of thousands of people came to Christ. So here's my conclusion. In today's text in Mark's gospel, we see that the life Jesus is expressing anger, it's also expressing loving compassion and tender touching. So you think about that. In the text today, Jesus gets really angry. He also has tender compassion and tenderly touches. That's a wide spectrum of emotions and actions within this small scripture. And it goes to show us how we can relate to a loving Jesus in all of those ways. Why did Jesus rebuke his disciples? What do you think? Jesus did this because they were trying to play like little gods and control the situation. That's why he rebuked them. They were trying to be in control. They thought they knew what was better. Same way with my introduction, where they thought he should be spending more time with the uppity-ups. They were trying to be like little gods and make this work. Jesus doesn't want us to live like that as his children. He wants us to be submissive, trusting, childlike faith adults. One must be careful and cautious not to try to exercise control over others' actions. Oftentimes it'll take place in the parenting process that someone will try to be God in these children's lives and direct them in the right path. When in fact, once they're adults, we need to encourage them to be dependent on Christ and not lean on their own understanding. Jesus lovingly received little children. He was willing to touch them and bless them. I believe this is the way that Jesus wants to interact with us today. I think that's how he wants us to come. When we pray, Lord, touch us, bless us, I think this loving touch and willing to bless us is what he wants to do. The only question is, are we willing to surrender to him in our hearts and do that? Jesus uses little children as an illustration to those who desire to enter, exist, and thrive in his kingdom. So if you want to get into his kingdom, you must come like a little child. That's how you get in there. Once you get in, how do you exist in there? Faith like a little child. How do you thrive in the kingdom? Faith like a little child, trusting in a loving God. First, one must desire to get closer to Jesus. Second, one needs to come in true humility, genuine, heartfelt, trusting, and open to receive. So the first thing you need to get into the kingdom and to thrive in the kingdom is a desire to get closer to Jesus. And that's not something that should ever diminish in our lives. The practical reality is the closer you get to Jesus, the more you see how much you need him. When you get close to the light, it's easy to see the dirt in your life that needs to be washed and cleansed. It needs to be truly humble. Bow down and be as small as a little child. Heartfelt trust. And you're open to receive what God has for you. Jesus' heart's desire is that we come to him today like infants, that are innocent, humble, trusting children. Do you want to do this with me? You want to do that today? Come like infants, innocent, humble, trusting children. You want to do that with me? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you as a loving Father, and we thank you so much for the expression your Son Jesus had here on earth of communicating his love and kindness to the children. We also thank you for his expression of anger for the folks that are hard-hearted and stubborn. So I pray for each one of us that we would allow you to soften our hard hearts, allow you the base camp in our lives to destroy our defenses. And through the power and the wonder of your Holy Spirit and the washing of the blood of Christ, we could be innocent, childlike in our faith today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. And for the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. light. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory.